The first reading this morning is also by Mary Oliver. One tree is like another tree, but not too much. One tulip is like the next tulip, but not altogether. More or less like people, a general outline, and then the stunning individual strokes. Hello, Tom. Hello, Andy. Hello, Archibald Violet and Clarissa Bluebell. Hello, Lily and Willow and Noah, the oak tree I have hugged and kissed every first day of spring for the last 30 years. And in reply, its thousands of leaves tremble. What a life is ours. Doesn't anybody in the world anymore want to get up in the middle of the night and sing? And my second short reading is by Princess Grace of Monaco. Have you ever looked into the heart of a flower? I love their delicacy, their disarming innocence, and their defiance of life itself. Today is, of course, our annual flower communion, observance, and ritual, and I hope that you all are as excited about it as I am. Flower communion has a beautiful, deep history. It was developed in 1923 by Czechoslovakian Dr. Norbert Čapek, a Unitarian minister before the 1960s merger of Unitarian and Universalism. Dr. Čapek was a minister who wanted to create a unifying ritual among the flock of his church in Prague, which at one point actually became the largest Unitarian church in the world. He wanted to create something beautiful and meaningful, but had the same issues that we have today in our churches. He wanted to formulate something that would not alienate those in his congregation who had been wounded by damaging experiences in other religious traditions before they found UUism. Using the traditional elements of communion, wine and bread, was of course problematic for those reasons. So Dr. Čapek decided to use flowers with their strength, fragility, diversity, and beauty for the basis of his communion. Dr. Čapek's wife, Maja, also a Unitarian minister, brought the flower communion to the United States in 1940, introducing it at our Cambridge, Massachusetts church. While she was there, Prague became mired in World War II, and Maja was unable to return to her home and her beloved husband. It was not until the war was over that she learned of her husband's death in a Nazi concentration camp. Nazi court records show that Dr. Čapek's gospel of the inherent worth and beauty of every person was too dangerous to the Reich for him to be allowed to live. He was killed at Dachau during a medical experiment, but his beauty, wisdom, and love live on in the flower communion we celebrate each year. We and many, 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 if not most other Unitarian Universalist churches. Dr. Čapek's version of flower communion was very reverent. It began as ours does, with individuals bringing flowers into the church and placing them in vases at the back of the church. At a given time, the flowers were brought forward where Čapek consecrated them. Then the congregation was invited to come forward in silence to select for themselves a flower another had brought. Author Reginald Zatoli explains, quote, "The significance of the flower communion is that no two flowers are alike, just as no two people are alike, yet each has a contribution to make. Together, the different flowers form a beautiful bouquet. Our common bouquet would not be the same without the unique addition of each individual flower, and thus it is with our church community. It would not be the same without each and every one of us. Thus, this service is a statement of our community. He further states, by exchanging flowers, we show our willingness to walk together in our search for truth, disregarding all that might divide us. Each person takes home a flower brought by someone else, thus symbolizing our shared celebration in community. End quote. May the symbolism of the flower communion affect you and move you as we move into the communion portion of the service.